In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, Paul has this to say: praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. Now, this passage actually began in verse 10. And in verse 10, Paul began challenging the believers to put on the whole armor of God. Now, how many pieces of armor has God given to us? You know, if you've been worshiping with us on Saturday night, you should know the answer to this as we finished our study last night. The answer is, of course, six. God has provided six separate pieces of armor that all connect together to make one awesome suit of armor. Now, the pieces are the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes or sandals of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, Paul used this illustration of a Roman soldier to help believers understand that they need to be prepared for a spiritual battle, and that God has provided protection that they can have in order to have the victory. What is interesting to me is that this chapter doesn't end here. You know, Paul could have stopped writing at this point, and we would have been energized and excited to think about the armor that God has provided for his children. You know, the sandals of peace are an awesome topic starter, and it's cool to think about and talk about the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. So why does Paul continue to write? Why does he go from talking about this remarkable armor to talking about prayer? Well, the reason that he continues to write is because he wants to teach us another valuable lesson. He wants us to understand the importance of prayer. I'm sure that wearing all that armor is truly impressive, but there's a problem. The problem is, if that is all that you have, if you only have the armor, then that's not enough. We need more than that. You see, the armor of God is great for protecting, which is great. We all need protection from the enemy. But we need more than protection to be victorious in our battle. A battle is not just about defense. It is also about offense. You know, in the sports world, there's an old saying, defense wins championships. And while I agree with the basic premise of this saying, I also believe you need to be able to score points. You know, I don't know of any sport where you can win a championship where you score 0 points. We need to be able to go on the offensive in our battle. But not only do we need to go on the offensive in this battle, we need power. Like I said earlier, the armor is great for protection, but it is not the greatest for providing power. Now, let me give you an example. Has anybody here ever watched an American football game? I've got a few people that have watched one. You know, I grew up in America, and so, of course, I watched a lot of football when I was growing up. And during the game, you can often see a play where one player would get the ball and he would start to run. And this player would be so big and strong that one player was not able to make the tackle. He was unable to make the play. You know, I remember watching games where I would see a player start running with the ball and four or five players would grab onto him and they still would not be able to tackle him. So as you can see, American football is a very physical and rough sport. But the players in American football all wear a type of armor. They wear their padding and they wear their helmets. Sometimes it's not enough to wear the armor. You see, even though these men were protected from head to toe, they were lacking one thing. They lacked the power to make the play. And prayer is exactly what we need, because prayer is what gives us access to God. And access to God is where we get the power we need for the battle. It is God's empowerment that gives us the victory in the spiritual battles that we will be in. Let me ask you a question. How is your prayer life? Do you feel like it is pretty strong? If so, that's great. Do you feel like it's pretty good but could use some work? Or do you feel like it is almost non-existent, like it's not even there? Well, regardless of the condition of your prayer life, this message today is for you. You see, Paul not only tells the church at Ephesus that they need to pray, he gives them some instructions on how they can pray more effectively. And guess what? Even after nearly 2,000 years, these instructions still apply to us today. Now, Paul began these instructions in verse 18, and great instructions can make all the difference in the world. Have you ever bought a piece of furniture from IKEA or Nitori? We have bought several things from these stores over the years, and let me tell you, I'm glad that they gave us instructions. There are so many pieces that come in these boxes that when you take them out, if I didn't have instructions, I'd be really confused as to what to do. Fortunately, usually my wife puts them together because I'm terrible with instructions. But because if I did it without these instructions, I would end up with a bookshelf with no shelves. And now I know sometimes the instructions from these stores aren't the greatest, but you get my point. And just like these stores, Paul does us a huge favor in this text. He provides clear instructions regarding prayer so that we might discover the power that we need to experience victory in the heat of the battle. And Paul's instructions involve three steps. Step number one, don't ever hang up on God. It is interesting to me to take note of the frequency of prayers that Paul mentions in his writings. It's a common theme in a lot of the books he wrote. Here in today's passage, Paul says, praying at all times. In some other passages, he has this to say. Philippians 4:6. But in everything, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Now, for Paul, this was not just a theme of his writing. It was a way of life. It was part of his life. Now, Paul never told us to do something that he did not do and live as an example for us. So how is it possible to pray at all times? Now, that's a good question. But in order to understand this, we have to define the term, pray at all times. To pray at all times means that we are God-conscious. It means that we live in a constant awareness of His presence. You see, praying without ceasing is seeing things from God's viewpoint. When we see a hurt, we ask God to heal it. When we notice a problem, we turn to God and ask for His help and for His solution. Basically, it's depending on God in every area of your life. Now, praying without ceasing does not mean that we are always praying. You know, God understands that we have to talk to other people, we have jobs, and we can't sit there and just pray at our job all day. But what it means is that we have a spirit of prayer. Praying without ceasing is knowing that we can stop what we're doing at any moment and we can talk to God. It is living in such a way that we never have to say, Lord, come into my presence, because we have never left His presence. Now, step two is don't just ask. With all prayer and supplication, in these five words, Paul reminds us that prayer comes in all shapes and sizes. Supplication, intercession, thanksgiving, praise, honor, blessing, pleading, crying, confessing, and so on. These are all different forms of prayer. And the believer who only focuses on one area of prayer is missing out. They miss out on blessings that God has for them. For example, if all a person does is ask God for things, then they are going to miss out on the blessing that they will receive by expressing their love to God through thanksgiving and the joy of praying for another brother or sister in need. Did you know that praise is a great weapon to fight Satan with? The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. Therefore, if you want God to enter into a problem you're having in your life, start by praising Him. Even in the midst of your storm, God will show up. Now, one of my favorite worship songs of all time is Blessed Be Your Name. And in that song, it contains this powerful line. Blessed be Your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there is pain in the offering, blessed be Your name. Now, I want to encourage everyone here today to begin to practice the different forms of prayer, the various forms of prayer. Now, take the time to ask God to provide your needs. Take the time to thank God for His blessings. Take the time to praise Him and to acknowledge His greatness. Take the time to intercede on behalf of someone else. Take the time to confess your sins. Take the time to ask for healing, both physical and spiritual. And take the time to yield your life to God's will. And now, there's an easy acronym in English that you can use to remember these steps. It's called ACTS, A-C-T-S. The A stands for adoration or praise, C stands for confession, T for thanksgiving, and S stands for supplication. Now, as you apply each of these steps to your prayer life, not only will you spend more time in prayer, but your prayers will develop more depth and more substance. You will also gain the added benefit of feeling more fulfilled after you pray. And the third step Paul gives us is stay alert and persistent. Now, persistence is pretty easy to understand. It basically means to endure. It means to keep going. Just like the man in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, who kept banging on his neighbor's doors, trying to find somebody who would give him bread to feed his unexpected guests. He went from door to door until he finally received enough bread. Now, another story of persistence from the Bible that I really like is the healing of the blind man in Luke chapter 18. We're going to read this story. It's found in Luke 18, verses 35 to 43. Excuse me. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now, this blind man really wanted to be healed. He called out to Jesus, and the people standing around him, they told him to be quiet. They didn't want to hear this man calling. But did this stop this man? No. He called out even louder. I imagine that the blind man started out in a normal voice saying, "Jesus, over here! Over here, Jesus!" But then as the people told him to be quiet, he started to raise his voice and he was like, "Jesus, over here! Over here, Jesus!" His goal was to keep calling until he had gotten Jesus' attention. He would have kept yelling and yelling all day if he had to, I imagine. But he called until Jesus stopped and Jesus asked what he wanted. That blind man received his sight that day because he was persistent. He didn't give up. This passage reminds us to keep on praying, to always persevere, and to always endure. I know a lot of us here have prayed for loved ones for many years to get saved. I know with my grandpa, we prayed for 30 years for him to get saved, and he finally got saved before he died. But we prayed and we prayed and we kept going. We didn't give up. That's one thing that God is looking for in our prayers. God is looking for consistent, constant, and persistent prayers. But what does it mean to be alert? Now, here's the point. We can persevere in prayer and pray intelligently. We can't persevere in prayer and pray intelligently unless we are alert to the things that are going on around us. Many times we forget Peter's plea in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, where he said, "Be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." Now, this verse, in my opinion, describes a believer who is alert to their surroundings so that they can pray effectively. Let me ask you a few questions. Do you know what's going on in your home? What about with your wife? Do you pray for her faithfully? Do you pray for her spiritual growth and for God to bless her? Wives, do you pray for your husband? Do Do you pray that he might be the man of God in every sense of the word? Do you pray that he might make the right decisions and be the spiritual leader in your home? And parents, do you pray for your kids? Do you pray that God will build them up in the Spirit? Do you pray for God to give them godly friends and to remove the negative influences from their lives? Do you pray that God will keep them from the evil one? And everybody else, what about your friends? What about your neighbors? What about the people all around you, your co-workers? Do you pray for their salvation? What about here at church? When someone asks you to pray for them, do you really pray for them? Or do you just say, yeah, I'll pray for you, yeah, I'll do that. But then you go home and you completely forget their prayer request. Now, I read a story this week about a man who took prayer seriously. He liked to pray for other people. And here's what was said about him. I knew of a man who had stacks of notebooks on his shelves. And within these notebooks were prayer requests that he had made note of over several years. He would write the request down, and then he also documented the answers. Now, this man had been doing this for about 20 years, and he is now on his 19th notebook. Now, this is a man who is alert to the things going on around him. Now, as I conclude today, I want us to remember that prayer is the power behind our armor. Prayer is what enables us to stand firm in our faith. Now, I know some of us here this morning are probably feeling a little bit discouraged, thinking that our prayer life is empty and lifeless. But I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to be encouraged by knowing the truth that prayer is a process. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes a lot of work on our part to grow in our prayer life. You know, it can feel awkward at first when we first begin to pray. Just like in a new relationship, things are awkward at first when you're getting to know each other. But unfortunately, this is why so many Christians are not experiencing victory. They have never gotten past the awkward stage with God. And there's really only one way that you can get past that awkward stage, and that is simply to pray. You know, we have to take the time to be still before God, and to not only share our requests with Him, but to share our thoughts and our feelings with Him. To grow in prayer, you must pray. It's as simple as that. You know, God wants to know us, and He wants to have a personal relationship with each one of us. So today I want to take you to take the time to get to know God today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You that we have instructions from Paul on how we can increase our prayer and how our prayer life can grow and become stronger. I pray that each one here today would always persevere in prayer, that they would not give up, that if they have a loved one that they are praying for, that they would continue to pray for them. And I pray that one day they would know the joy of seeing them come to know You as their Savior. I pray that if anyone here today needs healing, that they would continue to pray, to believe that You will heal them. I just pray that we would know that You are there and want to have that relationship with us, and that we would enter into that relationship every day. And I pray that You would just bless us this day and give us a good time and fellowship later today. I pray this in Your name. Amen.